Good morning, family. This morning's reading is from John chapter 21. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realise that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you got any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of your boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of your fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many fish, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon and Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourselves and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one that who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumour spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written.
Thanks, Arthur. I'm hoping this morning you actually bear with me because I'm going to just use a phrase that I've used the last few weeks. And I don't know whether you're happy with the idea of having a wonderful confrontation, and I don't know that even the word confrontation is really the right word, but I hope it at least gets your attention, because There's something wonderful about the way that Jesus confronts people. And we see it here in this story. And I don't know whether I'm too loud. I feel like I'm too loud. Am I too loud? No, I'm not too loud. All right. I'll just haven't got hearing aids I can turn down. But anyway, that'll happen, I guess. By seeing this, a terrific account, and a number of things that are happening, and a number of things that are confronted, and things that needed to be confronted. And we don't really like confrontation that much. Most of us run away from it. It's probably a person with some sort of a disorder that loves confrontation. But the way that Jesus confronts his followers is amazing, and I would describe it as wonderful. And the wonderful thing about it is that it leads you and it leads me and it leads anybody that would allow their hearts to be confronted by him into a different story, for what you would write for yourself or what Peter would have written for himself. I don't know whether curiosity gets the better of you at times, and it leads you to a place where you want to find out more. And as I've looked at this, and I've preached on this passage a few times over the years, and I haven't referred to any of my notes in the past because there's something fresh that God has stirred me into with this, and I hope it's something fresh that happens in your heart and in your mind. But, you know, there was a story that was being written here in the life of this guy, Peter. And perhaps a direction he thought his life was going to take, and everything had got changed around for him. And they had been following Jesus and very devoted in the way they followed him. They were fully committed, and for all he was worth, Peter declared his faith in Christ and his willingness to follow Jesus anywhere, as Shane has said quite rightly to the little ones. And Jesus had already appeared to the women at the tomb, and then appeared to his disciples in the upper room. And here they are back up in Galilee. Now, Galilee is about as far as Lake's Entrance is from Traralgon. It's about 150-something kilometres. And they're up there, and you think, well, what on earth are they doing up there? And if you look back in actually Matthew's gospel and in Mark's gospel, we see that Jesus has actually told them, and the angels told them, that go to Galilee and the Lord will meet you there. And so it's not as if they just racked off home and said, oh, well, let's go back to Galilee, let's just get back into the fishing game. But they'd gone back there. There's about maybe a 3 or 4 day walk. It's a fair walk. And they've gone back there and you know, they're really not knowing what to expect. And there's the intersection of these stories. And there's this one big story which they hadn't really got. And there's one big story that so often you and I don't get. And we don't get that our lives are to be intersected with this great story of God and his kingdom and what it means to know and trust and follow Jesus. You know, we would probably write the story of our lives and we'd say, well, I'm going to get to here and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do then this other thing. And we would try and sort of anticipate what we would try and then make our lives work out to be. And we'd try and have these kind of drop pins set along the way, and they're the markers where we would like to go. I've got my phone here and I always have a terrible time getting drop pins to stay where I want them to stay. You know, when you get into Google Maps, and if there's somebody that's really clever here, you can come and explain it to me. You'd probably need a lot of time to get it through my head, how to make that work. Because sometimes I'll be somewhere, I want to remember this spot, so I'll get the pin to pop there, and then I go to find the spot again, and it's not even, the pin's not even on the map, so it's something I'm doing wrong. I love a piece of paper. I love a paper map because I get the old marker pen, the highlight marker, and I track out and I put little marks. Oh, this is a really good camping spot here. I can remember it easily on a paper map, but I haven't got this one mastered yet. But the drop pins of our lives, and I reckon there could be a drop pin for your life here today, where you could mark a point and say, you know, God spoke to me about something. And there's a drop pin in this story. In fact, there's a number of them where God spoke into the lives of these men, and Jesus fully intended to do it. because they were told to go to Galilee and it's there you'll see the Lord. They'd already met him in the upper room, but here, all these kilometres, back in the hometown district, here they have this wonderful confrontation with Jesus again. And I don't know what it is for us. I don't know whether we're living lives there where we've already found a pivotal point in our life and we're taking a particular direction, or whether we're facing things that we seem unresolved and we're really quite unsure. I don't know whether we're facing things where we feel like there's this cloud of failure that just keeps hanging over us. I don't know whether it's where, well, I'm just doing the normal stuff. I'm just pursuing the kind of normal things. And I've heard many a preacher bag out poor Peter. And my hackles always go up when preachers get stuck into Peter. And yes, he was impulsive. And yes, he would open his mouth and then change feet. But he's probably only saying what the other guys were thinking and they weren't game to say it. And he had a sense of determination, and he had this kind of resolve within himself to try and do things. And he wanted his life to go in a particular direction. He wanted the story to be written in a particular way, but Jesus had something else in mind. And chances are Jesus has something else in mind for you, which is completely different to the way you would write your story. And there's things he wants to unfold for you today. And it's a wonderful thing. A wonderful confrontation when it's Jesus who does it. Now, I'm assuming that Peter was probably a pretty darn good fisherman. Am I allowed to use the word darn here? I think he was probably a pretty jolly good fisherman. And probably, I would guess, Peter and James and John were too. They come from fishing families. They would have inherited the family business. And it would have been okay, I think, to go back and just do a bit of fishing. This is where some preachers really bag out poor Peter when he says, I'm going fishing. You know, it probably was good to have some downtime after all that they'd been through and just to do something kind of normal and go fishing. And six of his mates went fishing with him. And so the story is unfolding, and they spend all night fishing. They'd done that before. They'd spent all night fishing lots of times. They spent all night fishing and caught nothing. They'd done that before too. And then here they are. All night they've been fishing and they catch nothing. And this expert on the shoreline, don't you love experts? This expert on the shoreline who knew more about fishing than these expert fishermen, although he wasn't raised in a fishing family. He calls out to them and says, have you caught any fish? They go, no, we haven't caught anything. Isn't that great when you say that? Been out fishing. Did you catch anything? No. And this expert on the shoreline, he says, throw the net in the other side, on the right side of the boat, and you'll catch some. I reckon the penny would have been starting to drop. Maybe. We've had someone tell us this before. It was a while back now, about 3 years ago. And so they did. And they catch this great catch of 153 big fish. Big fish. The Bible says they were big fish. It wasn't like our fishing stories. The Bible says they were large fish. And the penny really does drop. And John says, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And Peter grabs his cloak and he's out of the boat and he's making for the shore. And there's a wonderful confrontation, a wonderful encounter with Jesus. And I don't know whether you've had any encounter with Jesus. You're probably here today and you think, well, it's just somehow I want to go to church today. I don't really know why, but deep in your heart, you need an encounter with Jesus. That first song that we sung, I'd never heard it before until Trevor said, hey, I want to do this song on Sunday. There is a river that flows from deep within and your heart is thirsty and you need something and you don't know what. Let me tell you who it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He encountered a lady at a well and she's drawing water and she's trying to keep her life together and it was messed up pretty bad. And Jesus tells her about life that's found in him. And he says, you know, you get this water in your life, you'll never really ever be thirsty again. Not physically thirsty. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the cry of the heart that needs connection with God. That needs actually to become a heart that needs to be spiritually alive, where the power of the Spirit lives within you and flows into you and flows out of you, so that your life can be what God always intended it to be. And I love it when Jesus encounters us. I love it when there are these pin drops in our lives, where there are these marker points that says, here's a place to remember. And that's why Jeff says, bring a pen. You know, you might think, yeah, but I can't take notes while Michael's rattling things off. Well, you might just write down one verse. One verse might speak to your heart. Just write down, you know, John chapter 21, verse whatever. And then go back and consider and allow the encounter, allow the confrontation, allow God to take you into something good that your heart so desperately needs. Well, there's this big story. You know, the good thing about the disciples, when they were told, you know, go to Galilee, and there you'll see the Lord. You know, it's a good thing they did, isn't it? It's a good thing they went on the 3 or 4 day trip back home again. And yeah, they went fishing. All 7 of them. It was kind of a normal thing to do. Maybe they're just helping out the family business. I don't know. Maybe it was just a bit of downtime. But there was a wonderful encounter with Jesus. Jesus the stranger. Jesus the one they didn't recognize. And maybe for you today, Jesus is a stranger. Maybe you don't really know much about him and he's a stranger. But what a wonderful stranger. He cares about you. He loves you. Doesn't matter what sort of a mess you feel like you've made and how big a failure you think you are. Jesus Christ is there. And he calls you to follow him, to know him, to accept his forgiveness and his love, which is the most amazing thing. I am always amazed that God would forgive me. That God would love me so much that he would forgive me. You know, we sing that old song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You don't have to be a slave trader to be a wretch that needs saving. You know, it was a slave trader that wrote those words a long time ago, John Newton. And all the degradation and the horrible things that he'd been part of. But he knew God's saving grace. There was a time when he realized he needed someone to forgive him. He needed Jesus. You know, the amazing thing about when you encounter Jesus, you're only about 3 meters away from a miracle. You say, how do you work that out, Michael? Wasn't even metric back then. Well, I'm guessing, you know, a boat, maybe 4 meters, let's say 4 meters, just to be on the safe side. 4 meters away from a miracle. The guys have got the fishing net out here on the left-hand side and they're trying hard to fish. And Jesus says, put it out on the other side. Yeah, 3 or 4 meters, bang, out on the other side. And Jesus does something amazing. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I've got to be a long way away from where I am now for things to start to go right in my life. I need to get so many things sorted. I've got to get my act together big time. I'm in such a bad place now. Things are hopeless now. I'm a failure now. You know what? You're only about 4 meters away from a miracle if Jesus is involved. Jesus said, throw your net out the other side and you'll catch some fish. I heard about these two preachers who were working at a conference, speaking at pin drops and miracles, and they were speaking at this conference, a Presbyterian and a Baptist. And it's good that Presbyterians and Baptists can get on together. And anyway, they had a bit of a break at this conference, so they hired a boat and they went out fishing. And anyway, they were just catching fish. They were just bringing them in one fish after another. They were having an amazing time saying, you know, we should come back here tomorrow. He said, we've got to do something. We've got to put a mark here. We've got to have a pin drop. They didn't have a phone or anything like that they could mark it to. Why don't we put a mark on the side of the boat? Well, the Baptist says, the Presbyterian guy said that. Well, the Baptist guy says, no, that's ridiculous. How are we going to know that we're going to get the same boat tomorrow? So I don't remember many jokes, but I remember that one. And I thought it had to do with the fishing thing and pin drops. And I hope it doesn't take your attention away from the real depth of the message. But you're only 4 metres away from a miracle if Jesus is involved. And it's amazing what he does with a heart that responds to him. They would go on the journey back from Jerusalem to Galilee and just wait for Jesus. And then when he turns up and you don't expect him, when he's a stranger on the shore, and he tells you what to do, and you do it, you're only 4 metres away from a miracle. Well, Peter jumps out of the boat and he can't wait to get to Jesus. And I love the fact that Jesus is there and he's got a beautiful breakfast on the go on the beach. Yeah, we've got Jesus, a stranger that people don't often recognise, but we've got Jesus, a servant, who's pretty jolly good at cooking a big breakfast. And there he is, waiting for his mates. And what a wonderful encounter that is. What a wonderful thing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, would be there cooking breakfast for his mates. But there's also Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who was there. And you know, if it was me, or maybe if it was you, that had been let down so badly by Peter, then there might have been some things that you would very much like to say to him to express your disappointment. But the marvellous thing about this Jesus is he just quietly takes Peter for a walk. And I don't know whether he's put his hand on his shoulder or what he's done, but he quietly takes him for a walk along the beach, I'm guessing. How do I know he took him for a walk? Because we see in verse 20 that Peter looks back and he sees the other disciple, John, following them. So they must have gone for a walk. And just quietly Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your reputation? Or do you love me more than your own self-will? Or do you love me more than the fact that you're a big man that can naturally lead people? Do you love me more than the story that you would write for yourself? And Peter says, yes, Jesus, you know that I love you. And we know that Jesus asked him this question 3 times. Now, Jesus says something to him that's all about a pin drop moment in his life. It's all about the change from a man that was a really good fisherman to a man that also would become a good shepherd. Well, not as good a shepherd as Jesus, but he would become a good shepherd, because Jesus is saying, I want you to feed my sheep, feed my lambs. That's what I want you to do. And so there's a story that Peter would write for himself and the direction that he would go, and the story that Jesus has in mind for him. And there's a story that you would write for yourself and the directions that you would go in your life and that you think would be good goals. And there's a direction that Jesus would open up for you. And so can you see there's this intersection even today? And it could be today is a day of a wonderful encounter, not with me, but a wonderful encounter with Jesus Christ, where your life could just be heading off in a better direction than you could ever have written for yourself. Because that's what happened in this man's life. And it says, you know, in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, it says, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgment and his paths are beyond tracing out. You know, God has a better thing in mind than you can work out. God has more for you to grasp than you've already grasped. And there could be, and there should be, a wonderful confrontation as your story, the way it's been going, and his story, the way he would direct you in, engage. I love the fact that God takes this big fisherman, this good fisherman, and turns him into a shepherd. I love the way that as we find that the message that he would share with so much of the world at that time, and as we see the letter that he wrote to the churches, this is Peter, he says, praise, this is the opening parts of his first letter, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in his grace, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth. Peter knew about that. He knew of God's great mercy. He knew what it was like to become a new man. And he knew what it was like now to be born into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He knew about that. Do you know about that? And into an inheritance that cannot perish or spoil or fade. That's kept in heaven for you. Peter knew about that. Do we know about that? Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Last time, that's still happening. Peter knew about that. Do we know about this salvation that is ready to be revealed even in this very time? And in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And that's a reality of life. And Peter knew about that. These come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. There's a different story that God is writing, a story where your life glorifies God, where your life is a life that honours him. And it's not all about you, it's all about Jesus. Though you've not seen him, listen to this, verse 8, this is amazing. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And what's he say? What's he say now? Though you've not seen him, you love him. See, this is a man with a changed heart and a changed story. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Ah, I pray that you have a wonderful confrontation with this same Jesus. Because it might be that he is saying to you, I want you to be a person that would feed my lambs. I want you to care for at least just one at a time. Some of you have been following Jesus most of your lives, and you've got this wealth of truth that's been sown into your hearts, and you could do that. You could care for one person and show them what it means to follow Jesus, show them what it means to get to know him. You could care for one or two or three. And what a difference that would make. You see, all ministry flows out of a love for the Lord Jesus. Peter's ministry would flow out of his love for Christ. I love seeing this impetuous, I love seeing this determined, I love seeing this natural leader, I love seeing this disappointed man. You know, when Jesus came and wanted to have a word with him, his heart would have been loaded with disappointment for his failure. And yet Jesus quietly, lovingly, graciously reinstates him and says, Peter, you might have denied me three times, but I'm going to ask you three times. Do you love me? And would you feed my lambs? Can you see the confrontation thing? Well, confrontation, encounter, it's amazing. It's wonderful. I think it's amazing and wonderful that this same Jesus had said to people, it's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28, says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I think Peter knew that. I think Peter knew that was the person he was walking alongside, along that seashore. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus saying, let's be linked together closely. Learn from me. I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. I think Peter knew that. And you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know whether you encountered Jesus as a stranger. I don't know whether you've encountered Jesus as a servant. I don't know whether you've encountered Jesus, the one that would shepherd you back into life, the good shepherd. But I know today he's still calling out to people saying, follow me. And that's what he says to Peter. There in verse 19, he just says to him, Peter, follow me. And Peter probably tries to get a little bit of the heat off him and change the subject just a little bit and maybe point away to John and saying, you know, but what about him? And Jesus says, you must follow me. And that's what he's saying to you today, follow me. You don't have to have it all worked out. You don't have to have all the pin drops all worked out where you're going to go. Just follow me. Because there's a bigger story than what you could write. And there's a bigger story than what I could write. Father, we look to you. We say thank you for the wonder of your Son. We thank you, Lord, in the ordinariness of life and in the ordinariness of these men who went fishing, Lord Jesus, you wonderfully confronted their lives. And Lord, you did mighty things. And Father, I pray that we might come to realize we're only about 3 or 4 meters away from a miracle if we're listening to you, if we simply take the steps that you're calling us to take. Father, I pray that our hearts would be open and even aching for the wonderful confrontation that Jesus brings to our lives. Lord, to the life when it's normal and life when sometimes it feels like such a failure. We thank you, Lord, that we see in this disciple from long ago, we can see a lot of ourselves and a lot of our own determination and a lot of our own impulsiveness and a lot of our own disappointment. But we thank you, Lord, you don't give up on people. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you invite us into your love. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you invite us to follow you. Thank you, Lord, that right now, that even now, Lord, you have planned for that pin drop of a wonderful confrontation. Lord, in a gentle but marvelous way. Lord, where we can walk out of this place different to how we walk in. And Lord, we will gladly bow the knee and say, I just want to worship you, Lord. I want to trust you. I want to look to you. I want to know you. And I'm happy, Lord Jesus, for you to write a different story. And you can set the pins out, the pin drops out, any way you like. Lord, show me, show us what to do. And we thank you, we can ask this of you. And so we do in Jesus' name.